It's an honor to be out here. This particular event was the first of this kind that I ever got to attend in Narcotics Anonymous 8 years ago. I was coming back from not exactly a relapse, but it was using for my last time. I had been coming to meetings throughout that summer. I had a sponsor, I had a home group. I was working on a little bit of stuff. I wasn't fully engaged. Long story short, I had my last use, and the consequences of it drove me to surrender. That was on a Friday night into a Saturday morning. My clean date was that Sunday, and then Friday night I was up here. 5 days clean. Kind of knew a little bit about NA. Never saw this many addicts in one place. It was an experience for me when I got here that first time. Like, I got a basic text handed to me for free. Too many hugs. It was really hot and sticky. Very uncomfortable, you know, but I did. I hung out here. I can remember a lot about that weekend. Mostly I remember the people I was hanging with that weekend, which kind of makes me sad a little bit thinking about it now, because three of them are dead. One of them is using. One of them just came back from using. One of them relapsed recently with a lot of time. That's all the people I remember. The people that I was hanging with anyway. There's still a lot of other people that I met here that I didn't know previously that they're still around. And, you know, there's a lot of hope in that, because the three that died actually didn't die of using. They all died clean. So there's a little bit of hope there, too. You know, the people that were doing this thing, that were coming around, they didn't have to go out with the bitter end. Anyway, every year I try to make it up here. My very first lead I ever gave was standing here the next year. Now, I was asked to speak at that one when I had like 5 months clean. So it was like way early in the year. It was like the winter time, and this guy in my Wii asked me to speak on a topic, you know. And I'm like in my head for 7 months thinking about what I'm going to say up here. And so that was pretty disastrous. But somehow I turned off the recorder, so that doesn't have to be shared with anybody except for what I tell you. And then two other times. One other time I came up here and I was going through a little traumatic personal thing. I had a girlfriend at the time who just relapsed and was sitting in jail this weekend. And I was up here feeling sorry for myself, moping around, you know, just kind of pity party for me. And you guys cheered me up. You guys shared your experience with me. You guys got me back on my feet. You guys made me fucking speak up there that time. And I got more hope out of the speaker that spoke with me than, you know, I had had in a while. So there's always an experience. You know, I like to thank the retreat committee. I'm a fan of the Laurel Mountain Highlands area. It's never been my area, but it's a neighbor. When I got clean, I was coming up to this area to get key tags, you know, just to kind of experience new groups and travel and meet people. I went to school in Indiana when I went back to college, and I, you know, stop in for the daytime meeting every now and again. I like to keep touch with you people. I like this area because service is important in this area. I'm not saying that my area is bad, but like the traditions come out every time I go to a meeting in this area. The predecessors work them, live them, and pass them on. You know, and I'm not going to bash my area, but I will say, a couple of months ago, my grand sponsor called me, and he doesn't do that very often, but he called me to ask me if something that happened at our area level was a tradition violation. And I don't think it was, but that's not really the point. The point that my grand sponsor was asking me if it was a tradition violation. Something's wrong with that. You know, to me, like, we should all be working the traditions. We should all be, like, experiencing the NA to the fullest. I don't know. There shouldn't be like one guy that can represent NA, you know, and I think like that kind of shocked me. Anyway, my topic tonight, no matter what, there's a lot of ways I could go with that. My experience, I didn't come in here like with, I didn't come here like real full of desperation. Like I wasn't blessed with that. I didn't come in here feeling like beat down, bitter ends. I didn't come in here dope sick. I didn't come in here broke. There was still a lot of bad stuff going on, but like my ego was still so swelled up that like I thought that I could do it on my own, and I thought that you guys were just kind of a cult, and I thought these readings were trying to brainwash me. I thought I was better than. So my experience wasn't like, no matter how bad it gets, I don't have to use. My experience was, what if it gets real good? I can get away with it, right? And that was like a big theme for me for my first 2 years clean. I kept coming to these meetings. I knew what the consequences were going to be like. I knew that like jail was always my end. Probation was always on my back. I knew that I was a liar. I knew that when I thought I could get away with something, I would do it and not tell anybody about it and keep it to myself. But you guys had these little cliches, these little catchphrases talking about no matter what, I don't have to use and keep coming back and it works if you work it and stay in the middle, you won't fall off the edge and all this stuff. And I'm like starting to like kind of do it, even though I didn't really buy into it, you know. My life started getting good, damn it. The ego that I had started deflating a little bit. You know, my life was just like growing in areas that I didn't expect it to. Like I had been kicked out of college a couple times. I was never really one for like monogamous relationships. I like relationships, just not monogamous ones. And I thought that was cool, but you know, others probably thought differently, especially the other half. Only child, I got spoiled a lot. You know, I got what I wanted, if not the first time. Eventually, I would manipulate my way into getting what I wanted. So, I don't know. My experience starts with, like, thinking I can get away with stuff. My experience starts with, like, celebrating good times. I was talking with Jeff a little bit ago, and we were talking about how using was fun for me. A lot of the time it was. And I hear stories about, like, it just wasn't even fun and I couldn't get high anymore. Like, that wasn't my experience. My experience was, like, it's still, the dope always did its job. You know, unless I got some bunk dope and then I went and got more. Like, I had ways and means for days and I always went and got more. I experienced dope sickness twice in my life, and that's because I was in jail and I couldn't do nothing about it. But, like, I enjoyed the chaos, the frantic lifestyle, the fast money, the, you know, bouncing back and forth between different people's houses all the time, like being up for 6 days. I liked it. I loved it. I'm not going to lie and say I didn't. Like, I, you know, that was my life. That's all I knew. But whenever I came in here and I started doing the things you guys told me, with the chip on my shoulder, with the, you know, had a grudge against the law enforcement, had a grudge against the court system, I was going to show them. I was going to show you, and I was going to stay clean as long as I had to until they let me go, and then I was going to do my thing. And the only way I knew how to do that was to actually do this cult thing that you guys were doing. So I played along. I played the game. I stuck here. I started going to a lot of meetings. I replaced meeting attendance, step work, service work with my old habit. You know, like instead of being up for 6 days, shooting dope, smoking crack, smoking whatever. I started going to meetings 3-4 times a day. Driving to Pittsburgh for meetings. Driving to God knows where. I was everywhere. Ocean City, Maryland. You know, going to the convention, spiritual retreats, going to things I didn't even like dances and campouts, and I just did it. You know, I did it all. After doing that for some time and working some steps, you know, when I put a little bit of honest effort into some steps, I started to realize that, like, my life was really getting better. You know, I had some ability to do things. I was not clouded by drugs anymore. Service work was real big on that. Service work taught me that I, like, have some organizational skills. I'm not completely stupid. I'm not, you know, I failed out of school, but I know I could probably do it again. I became employable again. Like, I got a felony on my record, so I always thought, like, you know, what kind of job am I really going to get with a felony? I can't even work at McDonald's or Walmart because they won't hire me. So I set off on this journey to go back to college to get a degree so I could be self-sufficient in life at some point. Didn't even know if it would work. But because of you guys, because of Narcotics Anonymous, I got enough endorsement from, you know, friends and associates and people that have seen me working steps and, like, doing service work, and people were, like, lifting me up. They got me where I needed to go, helped me become successful, you know, and, like, right around that time, like, that's when I actually did start to buy in. I had some time clean before I had a desire to stay clean. I'll say that. I had some time clean here. I had worked a couple of steps. I was sponsoring people before I was really fully convinced that I had a desire to stay clean. I didn't even have a desire to get clean, but once I was clean for a while, I did have a desire to stay clean. So now back to the topic of no matter what, like, I've been through some stuff clean, and I haven't found an excuse, haven't found a good reason, haven't, you know, made that reservation come to life. I just haven't had an excuse to use. Now, I'd been fired from jobs, clean, by a person in the other fellowship, coincidentally, who told me I wasn't going to amount to shit. That guy used. I was denied a job because of my record at a treatment facility, even though I was already told that I had the job. I didn't have to use over that. That actually sparked me to the idea to go back to school and, like, get a degree so I can support myself, like, not have to have a boss. You know, whenever I'm kicked, whenever I'm down, like, I try to overcome it because I got courage through you guys. What else happened bad? Oh, let me think. Yeah, the girlfriend that had, you know, relapsed and went to jail, she ended up getting clean and doing really well. Our relationship was great. I proposed marriage at one point. Within a year, she left me. Out of nowhere. Again, I was moping around with my, you know, my head down, feeling sorry for myself for a while. Until you guys kind of lifted me up again, and I worked out 11 step, and I, you know, got a little bit more in touch with what my higher power is. I didn't use over it. There was nights I wanted to. There was nights I wanted to take the easy way out and find a permanent solution to a temporary problem and feel sorry for myself. There was nights that I was at that bitter low, clean, several years clean, 4 years clean or something. I got through it, you know. No matter what, I didn't have to use. I did a lot of stuff I wouldn't want to repeat. I did a lot of stuff that were morally reprehensible. I didn't have to use. My bottom line is always going to be just don't use. You know, my bottom line can be lifted a little bit by doing some work on myself around here. I have some morals, some principles, some values today that I didn't have when I got here. And I can go back on them pretty quickly. But, like, my bottom line is don't use no matter what. There's no drug that's going to fix my problems. There's no, you know, no amount of anything that's going to fix my problems. It'll get me high, but that stuff's not even... It's fun, yeah. I'm not going to say it's not fun, but, like, the end result of it, you know, like, at the end of the day, I use some dope. I'm going to be right back to peeking out windows, picking up crumbs or whatever off the carpet, ending up in jail. You know, I still got my name scratched into bed. They say that's a jinx. You're going to end up back. Well, it's true. You know, like, I know where I'm going to go. It's not that I'm going to die. I don't fear overdose. I wasn't that type of user. I wasn't the type that would load up the syringe with as much as I could. I was the type that would just do, like, a half a bag and try to make it last and then do another bag. And then, you know what I mean? I wanted to stay high 24/7. I didn't want to get real high now and be out of dope. I got pretty good at that. So, like, I know I'm, like, I think Cheryl shared it earlier. Like, I'm not going to probably go out there and use and die, but I'm going to live and just be in that chaos and that misery and that just hurting everybody else around me thinking that I'm in control. That's what I'll go back to. You guys showed me I don't have to be that person. You guys showed me I don't have to live like that anymore. Let's talk about responsibility. I was an only child. I was spoiled, man. Still am. But I choose not to use that as my fallback anymore, you know. My grandpa had money. It wasn't really my parents. It was my grandpa. I had enough money for the whole family. So, like, the trickle-down effect of that was, like, I still get what I want. I was the favorite grandchild on both sides. I was the only child as far as my parents go. I was a smart kid. I was a cocky kid. I was a funny kid. I was a good arguer. So, I mean, I got what I wanted, you know. I got clean and I started seeing that. By the time I got clean, my parents had been separated, divorced for a while. My grandparents died, the ones with the money. So, like, the money was there. I had already signed over my portion of my inheritance to my mom because I wasn't capable. I was actually in jail at the time. I wasn't capable of spending it. You know, it would have been a nice car or something, but I just knew that, like, whatever, I'm kind of stuck. So anyway, like, there's money there, and, like, I started to realize as soon as I got clean, as soon as I started doing the right thing, I started realizing that, like, maybe my family has a problem and it's not just me. You know, like, I always, like, thought they were looking down on me, but, like, really, they're just as bad as I am. They just have, you know, different drug of choice and just different crazy tendencies. And I started learning through you guys that, like, completely abstinent plus working on myself plus being honest with myself, I can learn to be a productive member of society and, like, get some values and principles in my life. And, like, I didn't really see that. Like, I was living with my mom and I didn't really see that with her. Like, she was just a crazy mess, you know. And I used to always look up to her because she could, like, drink and go to work and be responsible and pay the bills. But then I started seeing, like, she wasn't really always that responsible, you know. She's falling asleep in a chair with a drink in her hand, things like that, like, my, you know, leaving stuff on the stove and forgetting about it. My mom was swimming in her brother's pool, and the yards are connected. They're like neighbors. And I was maybe 6 months clean or something, and she's like trying to get me to invite friends over and come have a pool party and whatnot. And she's drinking all day, and it's hot out. She falls face down on the deck, and I got to, like, drag her in the house. And she's a bigger woman. Like, this was hard work, and I had to, like, drag her, help her walk. And I was so embarrassed by it. There was nobody there but me and her. And I was so embarrassed by it. But, like, honestly, I realized that the tables have really turned. Like, I got clean and, like, I'm a different person in my family. And it's been kind of ongoing since that point. Like, there was this, like, breaking point where, you know, I'm all of a sudden clean. I don't feel like I'm better then, but I feel like I'm better than I was. I'm not better than them, but I'm a hell of a lot different than I was. So I had to kind of step back from that situation. I had to kind of step out of that house. I had to move on, you know. And it's like, I still love my family. I still, it's my mom's birthday today, 2008, when I had the day, it was the day I got home from the retreat the first time. It was a Monday. And I was finally, like, able to connect with the probation officer and whatnot, and I called, whatever, I think it was a Wednesday. I had an appointment with my PO, and I had just relapsed, and my mom's birthday is August 26th, and I remember calling her from the probation department saying, "Hey, Mom, happy birthday. I'm going to jail again." But this time, for whatever reason, like, we both kind of knew, like, this was different. I'd been to jail a lot of times. This was, like, number 11. And it's like I was honest about where I was going with, you know, with the agencies, the people that had control, the managers of my life, because I wasn't capable of doing it. And I was honest with them for the first time, and I just had a peace, a sense of peace. Like, I'm going to jail. It's a fixed term. It's not like one of those open-ended, like, $100,000 bail. Might be able to get a lawyer, maybe not. This time I knew I was just going for a short period, and, like, I had some Narcotics Anonymous people in my life, and, like, I had a little bit of a program, and I was doing outpatient. So this conversation with my mom was just, like, really strange. It's like, hey, I'm going to jail. Can you do me a favor? Can you, like, leave a car at the courthouse on the day before I get out so I can get back home? And, you know, it was a weird conversation. And today I got to spend today with her. She had broken her ankle recently. She isn't getting around too well. Today I took her out for a nice seafood dinner before I came up here. I had to make some time out of my day to do that because I'm quick to forget that, like, it's still my family. You know, I've been separating myself from them more and more, the more I kind of grow up and I become, you know, sufficient. I can pay my own bills and I have my own house and I have my own car. I step away from my mother. But, like, today's her birthday and I made sure I got off of work early enough that I could give her the time and have the one-on-one conversation with her and be a son. You know, you guys taught me how to do that too. It's not the same relationship it used to be. Like, she doesn't have my time, but the time she does get is quality time. I'm not army crawling across her bedroom in the middle of the night to steal the credit card, the debit card out of her purse. You know what I mean? Today is different. Like, today I'm taking her out. Whew. Along this path, man, there's been good times. There's been bad times. There's been indifferent times. Graduated college in this program, in this process. Didn't have to use, didn't have to have champagne and celebrate. Got another degree. Went to law school. I'm a convicted felon. Part of my law school, I got to do an internship. I got to go in the Allegheny County Jail and represent clients. You know, always being a defendant. Now I'm, you know, working on being a defense attorney. That's change, that's progress, that's growth. But everybody in law school, man, drinks every day. Most of them, well, maybe not most, but a high number of them smoke a lot of pot too. And so I had to kind of isolate myself when I was there. I didn't really have, like, people in the program I could communicate with. So that was a weird 3-year experience for me. But I graduated, I got through that whole process, I didn't have to use. You know, there was celebration to be had. My parents threw me my mom actually organized this, but they threw me, like, a little graduation party on graduation day whenever I had, like, the cap, the gown, and all dressed up and everything. And my mom threw this dinner party for me downtown Pittsburgh at this one restaurant and invited my dad. And they had been apart for 22 years, hadn't spoken to each other in probably 18, and they were, like, one at one end of the table, one at the other end of the table. And I'm just in the middle, like, just so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. Alcohol's flowing both sides. I didn't have to use. Like, none of that. There was a lot of strange feelings going on at that point in life. You know, I should be happy for myself, but instead I'm, like, trying to play mediator between my parents. And, you know, none of that had to use. You guys showed me there's a better way. You guys showed me that, like, sometimes just doing the right thing is enough. You know, my life isn't the chaotic, crazy, like, do what I want, when I want, that I used to, like, absolutely love. Like, I don't necessarily do that anymore. You know, now I'm a pretty boring guy. I mean, I go to work 40 hours a week. I go home. I take care of chores. I take care of a dog. I sometimes help do dinner. Usually I don't, but sometimes I do. I pay my bills. You know, I don't, like, I have good credit today. Like, I'm such a boring, regular person, you know? And it's like, where did this come from? This wasn't the guy I thought I would be. I thought I'd rather be dead at 50 because there's nothing good to do after that. You know what I mean? I thought I was seriously going to be, like, a man whore and a drug dealer and, you know, just go out guns blazing. That was my whole plan the whole time, and, like, I got clean, and it just changed. Jeff told me to come up here and say no matter what a lot. I don't think I did. But no matter what, you know, the life I have today, is it's different. It's different, but it's better. you know, this program has given me a chance to grow and change as a person in ways that I didn't think I could. You guys have showed me that, like, it's okay to just be okay. No matter what I go through, highs, lows, ups, downs, you know, death, divorce, graduation, celebration. It's where I'm at internally, man. It's like this is an inside job. The external things are like just, you know, just riding waves. The internal process, man. I do work through the steps, through the traditions, through just being a friend, being responsible, showing up. You know, it's been a long time. It's been 8 years ago today that I went to jail clean. Haven't had to go back because I worked on some stuff. 8 years ago last week, I went out and got a DUI. And I came to this retreat. And then I continue to go to meetings. And I continue to come to this retreat every year except for one. And you guys just show me. You guys show me how to live without using drugs. Plain and simple. That's all there is to it. Take away the dope, and like my girlfriend tells me all the time, she says, like, your brain doesn't shut off. Like, my brain needs to be stimulated 24 hours a day. I think that's why I like coke so much, because every 5 minutes I'm getting some more stimulation. But like, it's still like that, but now it's like I replace it with different things. I'm always like focusing on like, where's the next vacation I can take? Like, you know, I go on the NA website and I'm looking at like mapping out where meetings are and how many states I can get to a meeting in. And I'm trying to collect basic texts now. And I was looking at t-shirts. I'm like, which throwback am I wearing for this retreat? Like, that's where my mind's at, man. It's like, it's all recovery all the time. I work in the field. Like, I help people get access to treatment. And, like, I don't care if they don't want to go. I don't send them if they don't want to go. Like, I'm not going to be that guy. But the people that do truly want something, I'm able to help them. I'm able to share my experience. I'm able to, like, be a part of their life. I've seen a couple people here that I've seen through that process, you know. I don't know. I can't get over the fact that my life is so entirely different today than it was the first time I got to experience this retreat. You know, the biggest thing that I actually did was I didn't use and I followed direction. If you're new here, if this is your first time at this retreat, if this is your first, you know, couple weeks, couple months of recovery, keep coming, man. Give this thing a shot. It's not a cult. You can pretend it is if you want, but it's not. You know, we're not religious up in here. I'm the farthest thing from, you know, a religious weirdo. I don't like hugging you, especially if I'm sweaty. I won't beat you down and do that. We'll give the, you know, one of these. You know what I mean? It's about putting the effort in. Like, I'm not going to make you do it my way, because your way's probably going to work better for you. But you got to follow some directions. Simple instructions, suggestions around here. Have a home group, have a sponsor, show up, get involved in service, talk to your sponsor, build a we, get people around you that want what is best for you at heart. Stay out of the relationships. I had to do that. Like, I came in here, I was a womanizer, I was sleeping with an engaged newcomer. He thought I was his best friend, she thought I was a piece of ass, she was right. I started working steps, and like I had to put all that to an end. They both used. I stayed clean through it somehow. He stopped me in sheets one day. He's like, "You slept with my ex." I'm like, "I did. I'm sorry." But for a year, no sex, none. That's a suggestion we don't talk about much anymore. But they talked about it when I was new. Didn't work out real great. The next girl I got with was even crazier. It's all experience, man. Like, I got my own. You're going to have to get your own, too. Just keep coming back. That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Graham. I'd like to thank Graham for sharing his experience, strength, and hope. Next speaker I would like to introduce is Aaron M. from the Wednesday night group of NA. in the champion area of NA.
I'm Aaron and I'm an addict. So, like, I remember when I first started coming to the rooms and they told me that I can stay clean just by not picking up no matter what. And I thought, well, no shit. Like, if it was that easy, I wouldn't be here. But, like, fortunately, I've kept coming back and following some suggestions has taught me, like, what I need to do on a daily basis to stay clean. I got a sponsor. I started working steps. I got a home group. I got involved in that home group. It was just, you know, as simple as making coffee at first, and then it turned into a secretary position. Working steps is huge for me because, like, that's where I learn the patterns in my behavior. And, like, if I can stop a behavior, like, prevent me from acting out, a lot of times I, like, won't act out on that behavior and, like, make myself feel a certain type of way. Lately, I've had a really big move in my life, and this is, like, the hardest thing I've had to encounter clean. You know, I'm from Cleveland. My support group is in the Warren-Youngstown area, and I'm just moved to Pennsylvania. And it's been, like, harder to come in here clean than it was, like, to build a support group than it was when I was just coming into the rooms, because, like, that desperation isn't there like it was when I was using. But I've been relying on my higher power a lot, and, like, it was really, like, looking back on it, like, I developed that relationship through my steps, and, like, I don't know, I'm just really grateful for it now. I've learned that you can have fun clean, and I don't know, that's all I have. I passed.